Martin banks it off. Sutter is up with it there. Right around in front. Score!
Live from the CG Technology Studio in the entertainment capital of the world.
Leading goal scorer on the team. Drew one in front. Score!
It's the TC Martin Show.
A tie game on the power play. Hodgson was at the front of the net. They are even.
It's time to get your daily prescription from the doctor.
A power play goal by the captain.
T.C. Martin.
It's brushed on back by Richard Bartel. Right up front. Yager fed it side of the net. Score! Giroux!
The doctor is now in.
And a very pleasant Tuesday to you. Yes, terrible Tuesday. You know what that means. Our turn to vent, bash. But don't we do that just about every day? Kind of seems that way. But yes, your favorite day of the week, terrible Tuesdays, we get to vent our frustrations on what we heard, saw, felt over the weekend. And of course, the Super Bowl will reign supreme in our Terrible Tuesday segment today. We invite you to join us. You can hit us with your Terrible Tuesday takes at TC Martin 21. Also at Fox Sports LV. Yours truly, along with Magnum, making it happen here today. The big seven-footer, Big Bill Cartwright. He'll join us a little bit later on as we talk NBA news. As Magnum mentioned in his update, the Lakers, what a mess over there. Saying, hey, I think we're out of the Anthony Davis sweepstakes. I mean, so many different rumored players to be coming and going, all for the one brow man. I mean, just crazy. So we'll talk about that with the big seven-footer. Also, Kyrie Irving. Is he happy, unhappy in Boston? What is Danny Ainge going to do with that? And then just quietly, the Warriors continue to just win. And LeBron James, we haven't seen him in a while, just on the sidelines. But it'll be interesting to see if we see LeBron James in the All-Star game. That's what I want to see. He's been resting, been kicking back. But why do I think he's just going to appear in playing the All-Star game when he's sat out the past, 4 weeks?
Well, because it's LeBron James. Listen, I like LeBron. I think he's an amazing player. He's easily one of the top three players of all time, if not the best. And that, you know, really depends on your criteria.
Yeah, don't even open that. Just stick with your original statement but don't venture on a nonsense like that. You're going to have people driving off the side of the road, especially people over the age of 45.
The statement is, I like what LeBron James does off the court. I love his charity. I love everything he does to help the community. However, LeBron James is all about LeBron James. And you can see it already with the Lakers, with this whole situation with Anthony Davis. First of all, the Lakers tampered. They got reprimanded by the league for that. Nothing new there with the Lakers, though. You know, because when you are the marquee franchise in a sport like the Lakers are, like the Yankees are, you're afforded certain
leniency
when it comes to certain things. If that's the Raptors, they're probably punished losing draft picks.
Well, it helps when you have the face of the franchise and your president is Magic Johnson,
too. Well, that's just it, though. Like I said, when you are the preeminent franchise in the NBA, and the Lakers are, love or hate them, they are the franchise in the league.
But they haven't been relevant for a decade.
It doesn't matter. It's the Lakers.
Yeah, but no one's excited about the Lakers.
If they got Anthony Davis, I think Anthony Davis is fantastic. He's such a great player.
We heard the same things, you know, when the Lakers got LeBron James.
He's been hurt. But
with him anyway.
When he was healthy, they were in a playoff spot, were they not?
Who, LeBron James?
The Lakers.
The Lakers?
If
you want to say the highest they got, I believe, was fourth
like
for a day,
four
five.
Or five, yeah.
But, you know, but pretty much right around the 6-7 spot.
Now they're behind the Kings.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, the thing is, though, I think eventually Anthony Davis will be a Laker. Because it seems like that's where the stars are aligning to. And this is typical. And I get New Orleans. Look, if I'm New Orleans, I'm not giving up Anthony Davis for anything less than an offer, like they said, that blows them away. You are giving up a franchise player, a marquee player in the league. And let's be honest, if you're the Pelicans, you may never, ever have a player as good as Anthony Davis in your franchise. So you better make sure you get everything you can for him.
Or if you're New Orleans, you might not have a franchise anymore, too. Think about that.
Well, they could be here.
They could be here.
Seattle.
They could Kansas City.
Yeah.
You know, Kansas City is really balloting for another team there as well, too. So we'll see. But it's so funny because the hyperbole always, when there is a high-priced free agent, they're always going to two places. And they're really not correlated to the teams, the cities. It's either New York or Los Angeles. Think about that. Every time, it's they're going to the Knicks, they're going to the Lakers. We hear that all the time. And really, those two franchises have fell off so hard, especially the Knicks.
I don't believe that. That's true, they only go to two places. Kevin Durant went to Golden
State. No, I'm saying that's what we hear. I said the hyperbole
is. Okay.
That's what we always hear. They don't end up there. Of course they don't end up there.
Well,
or else these teams would be good.
Yeah. Well, the Knicks are lining up for this summer. And my guess is, having watched the Knicks for almost all my life, they will fall on their face yet again this summer, and they'll end up with nothing.
Of course. All right. We'll talk more about the NBA when the Big 7-footer joins us. But right now, Terrible Tuesday. It's football and a whole lot more coming your way.
It's Terrible Tuesday.
That's terrible.
Things gone wrong in the sporting world.
That's a terrible idea.
I want to know what the hell he's smoking.
Something stinks in here.
That's terrible.
It's Terrible Tuesday. Things gone wrong in the sporting world.
All right, the Super Bowl on Sunday had the lowest ratings in the last 10 years. Last game that had this low ratings was Pittsburgh and Arizona.
Which is a shame because it was a good game.
It was a great game. But it goes back to my point here on why that was one of the lowest rated games. Many want to point to that Sunday Super Bowl, it was boring and didn't have the ratings because it was the lowest scoring game in history. 16 points. Crazy, right? But as we talked about yesterday, still pretty exciting, especially in the second half, especially in the fourth quarter there. But here's my point. It wasn't because of that why this game tanked in the ratings. For me, it's mostly because it was the LA Rams. It was the Rams. When a franchise or a team leaves a city that's been gone for 21 years, you don't have a loyal fan base. And that has been the case with the Rams. How can you expect to have a loyal fan base? I still remember 21 years ago when they bolted for St. Louis. And remember, the Rams, even before that, would they play, I can't remember how many years it was, 6, 7, 8 years in Anaheim?
Yeah.
They left the Coliseum, then they went to Anaheim, people in the city of L.A. Because L.A. and Anaheim, I mean, it's still an hour drive traffic.
Not exactly the same city.
Exactly, they're not. Hence the Dodgers and the Angels and everything. But, you know, L.A. fans, they don't have a true fan base. They're not filling up the Coliseum. They're really weighing a lot on Kroenke's new stadium there in Inglewood, which they're going to share with the Chargers. But L.A. fans don't travel, so it wasn't a surprise that the Patriots had 70% of that dome packed with Patriot fans. The Rams just don't have this solid fan base, and I firmly believe that is the main reason why the ratings were down, because you didn't have a marquee team. You didn't have a team that we really like to watch them, we don't care about them, and when you have a Jared Goff leading them, it doesn't translate. Now, once the game gets going, we've got 0-0 at the end of one, we've got 3-0 at halftime, people are tuning off. Plain and simple. So I think that has a lot to do with it. There's very varying reasons. And plus, I think there are a lot of angry fans that were still upset what they saw in the NFC Championship game, especially fans in New Orleans. Lowest rated Super Bowl for anyone in New Orleans. Less than 22% of the people in that city watched that game. So I just think there's a lot of reasoning. But for me, it has to do with the Rams playing in the Super Bowl.
I'm going to take a different approach to this. I think people are tired of the Patriots. I think people can't stand Bill Belichick. I think Tom Brady comes across as a smug, arrogant jerk a lot of the times. The whole, oh, nobody gave us a chance. Shut up. Everybody picked you guys to win. Everybody picked you to beat Kansas City. Get off this. Nobody gave us a chance. They come across as whiny, unlikable.
But that was the narrative. People, they counted them out.
Nobody counted them out.
Of course they did. You know why they counted them out?
Who did?
The media, yourself, everybody. Come on. And this sounds like more, this is more like your take, your personal take.
I honestly believe people are sick of them.
Okay, but that doesn't mean they don't tune in. As you know,
but
people want to watch the train wreck. They want to watch the crash.
The thing is,
they want to see them lose.
People who tuned in to watch the game, They didn't know that the game was going to be bad when the game started.
Right.
So,
but they just didn't have the luster because of the Rams. And the thing with the Patriots.
No, come on. There've been some teams in this game in the last decade. How many people outside of Charlotte care about the Panthers and Cam Newton?
Right. Right.
That wasn't very low rated. How many people care about the Ravens?
No, but you still had the Panthers were a very good team, and Cam Newton had some cachet. Anytime the quarterback is a Pro Bowler or whatever,
and Colin Kaepernick, that Super Bowl,
still a pretty big fan base and everything.
Not at Baltimore, because they're still competing.
San Francisco.
with the Redskins and the Eagles.
It's
for
the
a market.
Rams. I mean, you go back the Rams when they played the Titans and the Rams before. Just that was St. Louis. Okay, they were jazzed, but as you know, you see so many empty seats in the LA Memorial Coliseum with these Rams, it just hasn't resonated. So for me, I think that's a good part of it. But now, or is this just a trend? Because remember, we had the same conversation about last year's Super Bowl, and this year's Super Bowl was less than that.
Well, the betting handle was down this year, too.
Well, yeah, but still, like Jason said yesterday, still over
now, 107. You get Kansas City and New Orleans in that Super Bowl like everybody wanted.
Two rabid fan bases.
You are going to get maybe the highest bet Super Bowl ever.
But listen,
maybe the most watched.
But listen
Super
to what
Bowl
we're
ever.
Talking about here. So ratings are down, right?
Yeah.
It still drew a 44 share.
Yeah, and the thing
think
is,
about that. That's huge.
I don't care about the ratings. I'm not a TV
executive.
100
million people watch the game still.
Yeah. I mean, when I lived overseas, I watched the game in Asia at 7 o'clock in the morning on Monday. I didn't care. It was a Super Bowl.
All right. There you go. All right. Let's keep it a Super Bowl, huh?
Yes.
Here's your topic.
Uh-oh.
The halftime show.
Yes.
We're going to talk about the halftime show. Now, people are ripping on the halftime show. Maroon 5. There's your pop artist.
Yes.
Travis Scott, your hardcore rapper. Big Boy, kind of hardcore rapper as well, too.
He's part of OutKast, legendary hip-hop group from Atlanta.
But not legendary. Not legendary at all.
OutKast was legendary.
Your lineup of Maroon 5, Travis Scott, we know which team he played for yesterday.
Yes.
Hardcore rapper. Had to be bleeped out, what, 3-4 times?
Well, so did Maroon 5.
That's true, too. Okay. You know, this has deja vu for me all over the college championship game. We had this exact same discussion on the Tuesday after the college championship game when they had Imagine Dragons, and it was just, everyone would say it was boring, there was nothing to it, but there's a common denominator here, my friend. What have been historically the best halftime shows in the Super Bowl? Where have they gone?
Well, nothing compares to Prince.
Michael Jackson, number one, Rolling Stones, Bruce Springsteen, Prince, Beyonce, what do they all have in common? These are legendary groups that appeal to the masses and appeal to the older demo. Maroon 5, Imagine Dragons, that's not your target demo for the NFL.
Well,
not even close whatsoever. No one was excited about seeing Maroon 5. I like their music, granted, but still, it's teens, it's 20-somethings, you get beyond 32, 33, no one's talking about Maroon 5. I mean, and guess who's coming to T-Mobile Arena tomorrow night? Do you see?
Travis Scott.
Travis Scott.
Yeah.
Tickets priced as low as $29, my friend.
Maybe I'll go.
$29.
Maybe I'll go check out Travis Scott.
Yeah, because you can afford it. But come on now. No. Who wants to see this ham hog?
I'm going to, again, take the other approach to this. The NFL is trying to bring in new fans. They're trying to appeal to a younger audience. They're trying to appeal to millennials. Look, all my cousins who are all in their mid-20s, they all love Travis Scott. They think he's fantastic. Who am I to argue with them? That's what they like.
But those people don't watch the NFL on a regular basis.
Yes, they do.
Oh, stop.
But here's the other thing.
Why are people saying it was so boring then? Why?
Well,
because people weren't attracted to it. You heard people complaining leading up to Maroon 5, Travis Scott. You didn't even know who he was.
I didn't know who he was.
Okay, that's my point.
But I knew OutKast, legendary hip-hop group. Legendary.
The third one on the bill is who you knew.
Well, And I like Maroon 5, so I wasn't as disappointed as I think a lot of people were.
But you weren't excited about it.
No, but I am going to give a huge, huge props to Maroon 5. They donated their entire, because they get paid to do that.
They do not get paid to do that.
They donated $500,000 to youth charities in the Atlanta area. So
that's good.
Had they not performed in the Super Bowl, Those charities would not have had that money because they were in Atlanta.
Yeah, but again, it came out of their own pocket. They could have done that anytime.
That's fine, though. But they were there, and they did it. So
just so people know how the Super Bowl works, okay, the Super Bowl will actually pay for the production costs. And those production costs
are expensive, I'm sure.
Because you're dealing with pyrotechnics and the staging and the stage. They pay for that, but the artists do not get paid.
The problem is, where do you go?
Yeah.
So where do you go? Because here's my point. Music today is so watered down, and it's very quick. Like, bands aren't making music that you're going to remember 20, 25 years from now. You don't have bands like The Who, Pink Floyd, The Rolling Stones, U2.
And
they don't exist anymore.
And all of those bands are still touring that you're mentioning. But you can bring them back.
And they've all played the Super Bowl.
Yes,
I mean, I'm not opposed to bringing them back, but I think the problem today isn't so much the Super Bowl halftime show. It's music in general. And I sound like get off my lawn guy.
Here's the thing.
Music today sucks.
Here's the thing. Do you really need to go there? Okay. Think about going back to give you a little history here. Super Bowl, the very first Super Bowl, Packers in Kansas City. What was the halftime show?
I don't know.
Take a wild guess. What do you think they have to? And
dogs
remember,
catching frisbees.
They're always. I think that's part of number three, actually. But yes, the halftime show has always been a big deal. In the very first Super Bowl, it was the marching bands.
Oh, for the college, right?
Arizona, Michigan, and Grambling. And they did that for the first few Super Bowls. And then it wasn't until much later. And here's one. And Bill Cartwright would love this one. Do you know who the actual very first artist was that they actually brought in Super Bowl? And I believe the year was 1988. And it just wasn't a full concert.
When you say Bill Cartwright would love it, I'm going to guess it's Chubby Checker.
Absolutely correct. It was Chubby Checker. All right. 1988. And the first time that a concert actually broke out in a Super Bowl was in Super Bowl 25, and you'll love this one, okay? 1991. It was the first time a concert. Who was it? Your all-time favorite group.
My all-time favorite group.
1991. It was the first time that a concert took over the Super Bowl halftime show.
The Bengals. Weren't they in the Super Bowl that year?
I could hardly wait to see your reaction when I tell you who it was in 1991.
Who was it?
New Kids on the Block.
Wow. Who are also going to be playing T-Mobile Arena very soon because I saw the advertisement.
So there
for
you
that.
Go. So let's talk about the worst Super Bowl halftime shows.
Coldplay.
Thank you very much. Exactly.
I didn't even have to think about it.
3 years ago, Super Bowl 50 was a disaster. And then I'm going to go way back. If you talk about the worst Super Bowl, you probably don't remember this because before your time, it was 1989, Bebop Bamboozled. It featured an Elvis impersonator. That's right. Exactly.
That was what, the Bengals and the 49ers Super Bowl 89?
I believe you're right with that. Yeah.
I don't recall the halftime
Bebop
show, but
Bamboozled.
I remember.
Of course not. Exactly. But yeah, Coldplay was bad. So, yeah, maybe we don't even need the nonsense of this. Maybe we don't need the halftime show.
The problem
show.
Is Pepsi or whoever it is pays millions of dollars to have this show, to advertise it. I think you can have it. You just have to have better performances.
All right. Didn't get one. Last weekend, exactly. All right, here we go. More Super Bowl news.
Yes.
National anthem controversy.
Oh, I saw this.
Okay, so the prop betting world went ballistic here. Now, here in Nevada, they cannot accept wagers on the national anthem.
Nor should
they. It's always under over. But overseas, they can, and they take some big money on this. So the over-under on Gladys Knight, the lovely Gladys Knight, the phenomenal Gladys Knight, sang
She's
the national
still
anthem.
Here in town.
Yes, she does. Absolutely correct. And they set it at 1 minute and 50 seconds. All right, so Gladys was finished at 1:49. Pay the under. However, upon further review, she continued to sing, and when they actually clocked it, it was 1:53. Now, actually, there are rules, believe this or not, that are actually posted, and overseas, the rule says that they're supposed to stop the clock after the very first brave. And they had to do this because a lot of artists were
riffing
and going on. Yeah, exactly. And Gladys kept singing. So many people protested this that they actually had to pay both sides, the under and the over. One of the first that I can ever remember. Instead of, you know, just paying one side and taking the complaints or saying no bet off the board, they paid both sides.
Well, that's interesting.
It is.
It's obviously very subjective. Which is why I don't like the bet to begin with, because it is very subjective.
Right.
But I thought, you know, there and there's always criticism about the national anthem, and there's always the purists who say, oh, well, you should just sing the song. And then there's others who say, well, you know, this is what you sign up for. You get a legend, and Gladys Knight is definitely a legend, to sing the national anthem. She's going to put her own twist on it. I'm okay with both because I don't think it's something that you could really argue one way or the other. Look, some people like it traditional. Like, some people just like a band to play it.
Yeah.
Or Jimi Hendrix, right, when he played it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I thought that was really cool. But, yeah, it was interesting because I read about that. And I was like, that's a really subjective
right.
bet.
I like to keep it as traditional as you can. It's fine for the artist to put their own spin on it. But just don't change, you know, the tempo and go way off the beaten path. I mean, that's it for me. So,
well, Gladys Knight did.
I loved it.
She did America the Beautiful last year at Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Finals.
All right. What do you got for me, man?
Well, we're going to keep it in the NFL. And, guy, people, I don't know if they love or hate him. I think they just kind of laugh at him. Skip Bayless, who generally says things, I think, just to get a reaction. I don't know if he believes half the stuff that he says. So this was his tweet on Saturday. Patrick Mahomes, runaway NFL MVP, lost twice to Tom Brady this season. Brady threw for 182 yards in the fourth quarter versus KC at home and completed three straight third and tens in overtime to keep Mahomes from even touching the football in KC 2 weeks ago. My problem with that? D Ford lines up on side. Tom Brady's not even in the Super Bowl. So it's an asinine comment. I went a step further and I compared the two, pulled up the stats for the two of them in the two games they played. Brady's numbers, two touchdowns, two interceptions, about 700 yards passing in both of those games. Pat Mahomes, seven touchdowns, two interceptions, about 700 yards in both of those games. How could you say with a straight face that Brady should have been the MVP over Pat Mahomes? If you're only looking at those two games, first of all, they don't play each other, so it's stupid to begin with. But when you take the D Ford factor into it, Brady's not even in the Super Bowl if D Ford lines up on side. Yeah. So it's an asinine comment.
Yeah. And you really can't compare the head-to-head competition. I mean, you can't.
No, I mean,
but where is more Skip Bayless being Skip Bayless, right?
Where are the Chiefs without Pat Mahomes? Are they in the AFC title game?
Not at all. Not at all. And just think, again, where the Chiefs would be if they had a defense. If they had a good defensive coordinator, or even an average one.
D Ford had lined up on side.
No doubt. But that defense was the reason why they lost the football game.
Yeah, not because
they got
of Pat Mahomes.
Shredded. Not at all.
That guy threw for seven touchdowns against the Patriots.
I agree. All right. NC State, we go to the hardwood. They lost to Virginia Tech last weekend, 47-24. That's right, 24 points. They made just 9 shots the entire game, 9 for 54 from the floor. Do the math, my friend, 16.7%. Have you ever heard of a field goal percentage like that?
I will say this. Years ago, I went to was Omaha. UNLV played Kent State in the first round of the NCAA tournament. I think Kent State had 9 points at the half.
2 for 28 from beyond the three-point arc. 2 for 28 for NC State.
Keeping that streak alive, though.
NC State's lowest scoring output since the inception of the shot clock. And actually, here's one for you. They actually won a game in 1968 by scoring 12 points. True story.
Who'd they beat?
They beat Duke. And Duke Duke was a top 10 team in 1968. It was an ACC tournament.
No shot clock.
Thank you. Final score, 12-10.
They probably held the ball for
exactly
7 minutes.
Exactly. You know,
North Carolina did that.
Seven? I think they held it for 32 minutes.
North Carolina did that against UNLV in the Final Four. I think it was 1977. They went to four corners.
All right. Basketball, NBA. Whose idea was it for the Utah Jazz to change their colors? And you know what I'm talking about, because you've seen these pathetic uniforms they've been wearing. The orange, the yellow, the red, and the black.
Those are bad.
Who's to blame for this?
I'm going to blame the deceased Larry Miller for that, because he's no longer there to put his foot down on ridiculousness like that.
And this pains me to blame these guys, but they're part to blame. It's Nike.
Oh.
Nike wanted the Jazz to have a city uniform. Okay?
A city uniform.
A city. You know how Oakland has, San Francisco, the city, then Oakland, now the town.
Yeah.
Cleveland had the land. They were doing that a couple years ago, right? And they said, hey, we want you, let's represent Salt Lake City. So the Jazz management says, we want you to go a little bit deeper here. Not so much Salt Lake City, but we're called the Utah Jazz. go ahead and represent Southern Utah for us. So Southern Utah is known for
Zion and
the Red
St.
Rocks.
George, yeah.
It's the Red Rocks.
My gosh.
So they say incorporate the red. And you've seen this red, this orange. They look like the Flaming Hot Cheetos.
They do.
It makes me sick. Seriously, the Flaming Hot Cheetos, it's a bag of snacks. It is horrible. As we know, the Jazz were always purple and gold. Remember during that Malone-Stockton era toward the end?
The Oster tag days where they had the mountain on the jersey with the city in the
and
background.
And they went like a little light blue. They threw that in there.
Yeah, yeah.
And I wasn't even okay with that. But remember the inception for New Orleans. It was purple, green, and gold.
Which was a good-looking uniform.
And they transferred that over to Utah. And they said, we're going to keep that. We like it. But now to go with this orange, red, Flaming Hot Cheetos thing, it's sickening. It's horrible.
I kind of miss the old days where uniforms were just uniforms, where everyone didn't have these seven different jersey combinations that they wore. I mean, like, look at Denver. They wore some pretty wild stuff, too. I mean, I remember the A.J. English Denver Nuggets jerseys. Those were cool.
All right, real quick, we got to go over to the golf course real quick, okay? Someone had a worse weekend than Jared Goff on the PGA European Tour last week.
Was it Dustin Johnson?
No, it actually was Sergio Garcia.
Uh-oh, Sergio.
He was disqualified for intentionally damaging the greens. He tore up five greens in two rounds and several bunkers, dragging the sole of his shoes across the greens. And then he had this ridiculous temper tantrum in the bunker where he's beating up the sand. It's ridiculous. And he's blaming the groundskeepers before that. It was just ludicrous. And this guy, he's always known to have a hot temper and everything.
He's not a very likable guy either. So
yeah, so we got that going. But then scrolling through the TV like I was doing last weekend.
Yeah.
We had the worst tournament name I've ever seen. Did you see what the tour stop was last weekend?
Oh, was it the one
it's
in
Phoenix?
It's been
there for a while. Yes, correct. What's it called?
When you tell me, I'm going to know it.
The Waste Management Phoenix Open.
Yep.
You can't be naming a tour stop after the green garbage can.
Listen,
come on, man.
Maybe Tony Soprano was putting the writing the check for that one.
Come on, man.
What kind of job are you in? I'm in waste management.
That's horrible. It's terrible.
It's fine.
It's terrible. All right. Okay. I got to end you with some food here.
Okay.
And I'm really mad at myself because all weekend, I said, I'm going to bring this in for you. I was going to bring in my little grocery bag. You ever get that craving when you really want to have something that you haven't had in a long time?
Yeah.
Okay. I had that with breakfast the other day.
Okay.
So I went down to the store and I'm going through the cereal aisle, right?
Yes.
And there's this cereal, particular cereal that I said, man, I just have a craving for this.
Yummy Mummy?
Nope.
Fruit Brute?
Nope.
Blueberry?
Not that far.
Frankenberry?
It's close to old school. I love the old school Sugar Smacks.
Oh.
With the frog on there.
No, I never really cared for those.
Okay. Yeah. So I haven't had it in such a long time, so I get it. And I'm really kind of bummed out. There's a place where I went only had the jumbo family size.
Oh, no.
So I was like, I don't like that because I'm not going to go through that. But
it's like
I bought
$8
it.
For the box.
Yeah. I think I got it on sale for $3.94.
Oh, that's good.
Anyway, I like to pay about $2.50 or less. But anyway, I like the smaller ones. So I go in and my mouth is watering.
Yeah.
I wanted to bring it to you and maybe I'll bring it tomorrow. And I just want you to taste it. It was the worst thing I had. I'm a date guy.
Yeah.
I'm a date guy. And I looked at the date and it said expires something like July 2019.
Okay.
And with cereal, you should go at least a year ahead of time.
Yeah.
So I was hesitant with that.
I'm a date guy as well.
I was hesitant with that. And sure enough, this thing was stale. The puffs were no good. It was like putting paper in my mouth. And I meant to bring it to you today because I wanted you to try it to see if I was off my rocker.
Well, you know, there's a good chance you are.
Yeah.
But you
can feel my pain here.
Yeah, because I'm a cereal guy. I mean, every once in a while, I get a craving for like Lucky Charms or something,
yeah.
And I gotta go buy. And the marshmallows and Lucky Charms, it's like styrofoam. It's like you bite.
So you know where I'm going.
Yes,
you feel my pain.
Absolutely, I do. Yes.
I was so upset. I mean, man. Should I ate about a quarter of the box. Should I take it back to the store?
I know a guy who works in this building who would.
Exactly. So I'm off the smacks. Goodbye to the frog cereal. I'm off the smacks.
Well,
and they made me mad because they change it from sugar smacks to sugar pops way back in the day because, you know, we don't want to use the word sugar, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But we all know what it is.
What are they, honey smacks?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
They were never, I was never a fan of that. That or Cinnamon Toast Crunch? I never really cared for that either.
What about its chief rival or the spinoff, the one with the bear? That was
Golden
Crisp or whatever,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Maybe I should go to that.
Super Golden Crisp. Super that's golden. It, yes.
That's better than the frog?
Yes.
We go bear over frog?
Go to the bear.
Do they still make the bear?
I don't know. He wears a t-shirt, though, so you can't go wrong with a bear wearing a t-shirt.
There's your terrible Tuesday takes. Oh, my goodness. We knew it was going to be a lengthy one. The big 7-footer joins us next. We talk NBA. All right, the 5-time NBA champ, the 7-footer. He joins us now talking a little NBA and who knows what else. What is happening, my friend?
What is this cereal thing you guys are on now? I don't get that at all. And let me help you with that.
Okay. Well, again,
let's just clean that up. It is not the cereal. It is the combination of cereal. So that now you have something with flakes in there. So Wheaties or whatever you're gonna put in there. But then it's like you need some Captain Crunch.
Yeah, now you're talking.
Or you need something else to sweeten it up a little bit. Now that's what eating cereal is all about.
No,
that's the one cereal. It's the combination.
No, you're right about that. And again, I was having this craving because I haven't had the old school sugar smacks and now the honey smacks I hadn't had in a while. And I went to the store last week and I opened the thing and it was stale. It was terrible. It was just awful. And I was so disappointed because my mouth was watering for that. And it's funny you bring up Captain Crunch because I was going to go Captain Crunch because I haven't had that in a while. And sometimes I just, I don't want too much sugar, believe it or not. And so that's what, but I just haven't had the smacks in a while, and I was so disappointed.
The problem with the Captain Crunch, though, is when you eat it, it tears up the roof of your mouth. It's like eating shards of glass.
Maybe in your
mouth. Well, look, you got to let that thing soak in a little bit. That's the art of it. You got to know what you got. There's timing to it, and that's when you pour the cereal, the milk, and that's when you go to the fridge for some juice.
So what is your go-to cereal? What is your go-to? What is the one that, and because we have a little wager here going what we think it probably is. What's your go-to?
Well, what I used to really love was the Apple Jacks.
Oh, that's still good. See, that's in my rotation. Yeah.
And the Kellogg's Corn Flakes, of course. I'm an old school guy. Kellogg's Corn Flakes.
Well, Magnum thought it was definitely Product 19, and then I threw in, you're probably an old Yule Gibbons guy, so I figured you for Grape Nuts.
You know what? I've had Grape Nuts. That's not a bad call. That's not a bad call at all.
But here's the deal. I never understood that because there's no grapes in there. Where's the grape nut? I've never seen a grape in a grape nut. Have you? It's a bunch of healthy stuff, right? I don't see a grape anywhere in there.
Raisins and healthy. Raisin Bran. That's not you. You can't have a hot dog for every meal. That's all I'm saying.
Oh man! All right. So yeah, thank you for participating in our little. It's Terrible Tuesday, so you never know what we talk about. And that was part of the terrible part. There was my bad sugar smacks, honey smacks, whatever you want to call it, So there you go.
Well, actually, that was probably one of the better Terrible Tuesday subjects you've ever had. So I do appreciate that.
You got it. Anytime you can chime in with some cereal, but that's good. All right. Hey, let's talk about LeVar Ball. How about your boy here? Here's his quote. He's talking about Lonzo and the Lakers. Here's this quote. He's a better fit in Phoenix because they've got some young athletes. They've been losing. They need a winning attitude. The Lakers gave my boy that losing attitude. If you look at my boys, the one thing they do is win. My boys don't lose too much. When he got to the Lakers, Luke Walton was the worst coach ever for Lonzo because he had a losing mentality. They've been losing there for years. That's how you develop losing. LeVar Ball's quote, your comment.
Well, I don't really think, and the problem is that people are commenting about this guy. Is that this guy is like just a self-promoting dad. He's the ultimate little league dad. And he gets a lot of press coverage, and that's That's the problem. Everything this guy says, people write. It's sad. It's sad. It's sad for our sport. And this is going to happen because, you know, there's only 30 NBA franchises in the world. All these coaches are really good coaches. And if you have all-star quality player, the best players in the league, you got a chance to win. And the Lakers are in transition. They've got a bunch of young guys. They're going to struggle until those guys mature. I mean, but that's too easy to say. It doesn't promote anything. It doesn't get you any headlines. But by making preposterous statements, it gets you a lot of headlines.
So let's talk about the Luke Walton situation there, because I know you believe that he probably is going to lose his job. Had a confrontation with some of the veteran players there. I guess, you know, Michael Beasley, and guy rarely plays as it is. But what is wrong with the Lakers, and what's wrong with Walton and that locker room?
Well, I think that when you have a team, you have a particularly younger team, you've got to be determined to have things go away. And then now be able to adapt to the players you have. So the Lakers, as we know, the Lakers are similar to the Warriors, similar to the Clippers, which are similar to Denver. The Lakers, if you've got to score in LA, that's who you are. You're a scoring team and an up-tempo team. So you just got to commit yourself to that. And I don't think they've quite done that yet, to have an identity. Nobody can tell you who the Lakers are right now. If they're a scoring team, if they're a defensive team, if they're a half-court team, who knows? And as you know, that we've had this discussion, if you can't tell me who that team is, they're probably not a very good basketball team right now. I think Luke's got a lot of work to create an identity. It's not easy to do, and he's just going to have to go to work. Hopefully, he can do it before it's too late. I think it's going to be close.
Bill Cartwright joined us. Real quick, let's talk Anthony Davis. We've seen the Lakers now say, hey, we're pulling out of this. They're willing to give up four or five players and four or five of their better players to package a deal here. Now it looks like they're out. What's going to happen with Anthony Davis?
Nobody knows. You know, I mean, I can't blame them. I'm trying to get the best deal they can get. It's the bad thing with them right now is everybody on the planet knows that this guy wants to win. So, you know, it's just going to kill their team right now, play-wise. Because that's a horrible playing environment, knowing that your best player wants out of there. So it's going to be a real nightmare. Hopefully they can get this deal done wherever it is quickly, and so everybody can transition and move forward.
You got to feel kind of bad for Alvin Gentry there as well, too. I mean, he's, you know, holding press conferences, doesn't know what to say. He's obviously tired of talking about it. It's hurting the team. And, granted, they're not a great team, but if you got any hope of winning here, I mean, again, we're just reaching the All-Star break right now, and it's just a nightmare for the Pelicans.
Yeah. And it's a team, you know, they're not going anywhere. They've had injuries the last 3 years, and that continues now. They're just in serious trouble. The best thing that could probably happen to them is to make this trade so they can start all over with a nice young group of guys and try to rebuild it. Because with the group that they have with Davis, it's clearly obvious that they can't win.
And that's what seems to be happening with the Lakers, too, just trying to restart again and rebuild again. And that's why we've seen this team struggle for the better part of this last decade. And with all that being said, looks like your boy's going to take the floor tonight. LeBron James back in action with no minutes restrictions tonight. So he's going to go. Like I told you, of course he's going to come back before the All-Star game because he wants to play in the All-Star game, right?
Well, I don't know. You're going to have to ask him. but why not him? Why not him in the All-Star game?
No, he's going to play tonight, so we'll see. We'll see how healthy he is. But it's funny that he actually plays the game after with no restriction limits after the Warriors game, which I thought he was going to play. Everyone thought he was going to play. He could have played, but he decided to sit that one out.
Well, why not? Why not have this guy come back when he's at full strength? Would you prefer he come back and get injured again? I mean,
what, he's okay 3 days later? He probably could have played 3 days ago, but he didn't want to play against the Warriors.
Hey, 3 days of rest could be really big. And let me ask you, when do you want this guy? Do you want him now? Or do you want the guy at the end of the year?
And well, do you want
to pull healthy or not?
If he doesn't play, he gives them the best chance to win. He keeps sitting out. They're not even going to be talked about in the playoffs. They're not going to make the playoffs. So he better play sooner than later.
Guys aren't even to the All-Star break yet.
Oh, please.
We're just now getting to it. Why don't you give the guy a break and let him get healthy? If this was Steph Curry, we wouldn't be having this conversation. That's for sure.
All right, I'm going to let you go eat your product 19 right now, okay? So you go ahead and go have your cornflakes or your product 19. You go do that right now.
I got that going on.
And put some, yeah, you're going to put some fruit on that top of that stale cereal, too. I know you.
And there you go. Finally getting you on the right page.
All right, Mr. Grape Nuts. We'll see you later. Take care, brother. We'll talk to you later.
All right, guys.
There it is, Big Bill Cartwright. Checking in with the cereal. There he goes. How'd I know that he'd be a proponent of Grape Nuts?
Of course, yeah. I would prefer they put Corn Nuts in that cereal, but, you know, Grape Nuts, Corn Nuts, why not?
Well, you just love nuts.
Yes, I am a big proponent of pistachios, walnuts. I love all that stuff. Almonds.
Yeah.
Lagoons. Right? Aren't peanuts lagoons?
Makes you feel like a nut, doesn't it?
Some days you feel like a nut, some days you don't, right?
There you go.
Wasn't that the old Almond Joy and Mounds commercial?
Very nice.
Yeah, how about that?
Very nice. All right, we'll come back here to wrap things up. Get ready for tonight. NHL Golden Knights are in Tampa taking on the Lightning. Keep it right here, Fox Sports Radio. Fantastic CG Technology Sports Books. Get the mobile app. That's right, college basketball. We're hitting prime time with that. Oh, yes, the CG Technology mobile app. New, improved, so many in-game options. It'll take you about 5 minutes to get signed up, so make sure you do that over at their great establishments, including the M Resort, the Silverton, the Palms, the Venetian Palazzo, the Hard Rock, the Tropicana, of course, the Cosmopolitan of Las Vegas, our Friday home, the CG Technology mobile app. It is betting made easy. All right. So, yeah, a lot on the table here today with our Terrible Tuesday, talking a lot about the Super Bowl. So appreciate thoughts and all that kind of stuff. And tonight we got the Golden Knights. They are in action, continuing the East Coast swing. You like that? You know where I'm going with that? East Coast swing.
Motown Philly back absolutely again.
There you go. Not in Philly tonight, but in Tampa, taking on the Lightning, NHL's best team. So we'll, man, Golden Knights struggling. See what happens tonight. So they will face it off a half hour from now, actually about 36 minutes from now. And you can hear the game, of course, on your home for all Vegas Golden Knights right here at Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM. Frank and Ryan, they are hanging out. They're ready to take over and do the pregame show over at the Parkway Tavern in Henderson, located on Marks and Warm Springs. So get out there, go have some great food, some great drinks, and enjoy the game out there tonight as the Golden Knights take on the Tampa Bay Lightning at Parkway Tavern. All right, we're back at it again tomorrow, 3 o'clock for Magnum. TC saying so long. If you miss any part of the show, you know where to go to the website. Check out the latest articles up there. And we got a little flashback. We got our interview with Frank Caliendo. That is up on the website. Great stuff. So get a chance to listen to that. Just go to the homepage at tcmartinshow.com. Have yourself a good one. Enjoy Golden Knights, Tampa Bay. They're coming up next right here on Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM, here in Las Vegas.